we present Peter Cook as Paul Temple and Marjorie Westbury as Steve in Paul Temple and the Lawrence Affair, a serial by Francis Durbridge. Paul Temple and the Lawrence Affair, Episode 1, The Little Things.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Temple. I didn't recognize you at first.
I expected the scarf. My word, it's windy this morning.
Have you been for a walk?
Yes, I've been down to the quay, almost as far as the lighthouse.
Oh, you must have felt energetic.
Yes. I'd like a packet of postcards, please, Mary, and some envelopes.
Yes, certainly.
I saw your brother, Bob, down at the quay. He's taking us out in the bay this afternoon.
Oh, good. Bob will be pleased. He's been wanting to meet Mr. Temple ever since you've been down here.
And he's quite a salesman, that brother of yours.
Oh, Bob's no fool.
The hotel told me to make arrangements with an old boy named Salty, something or other. Your brother...
Oh, Salty West. Oh, it's a good job you didn't. He's a dear old soul, but he's never sober.
That's exactly what your brother said.
You'll be all right with Bob, Mrs. Temple. He's got a very nice boat. He'll look after you. It should be very pleasant this afternoon if the wind drops.
Does the wind ever drop in Dunbar?
Occasionally.
Then it rains.
Well, it's a heavenly spot anyway. I adore the harbour.
Oh, it's all right out of season, but don't come here in August. There. That'll be 1 and 7, Mrs. Temple, please.
Oh, thank you.
What made you choose Dunbar? We don't get many visitors this time of the year.
My husband's writing a book and he wanted somewhere quiet away from the telephone, so we...
Excuse me.
Sharp day.
Yes.
I'd like some cigarettes, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, we don't sell cigarettes.
Oh, well...
You can get them across the street, opposite the Plough and Anchor.
Oh, thank you. Do you sell matches?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, across the street, you say?
Yes, there's a shop on the corner, opposite the hotel. You can't miss it.
Thank you. Sorry to have bothered.
Oh, that's all right.
Good day, now.
Good day. Well, he'll certainly know you again, Mrs. Temple.
He certainly will. Talk about staring. Have you seen him before, Mary?
No, never. But you know it's surprising the number of people who come in here for cigarettes. I said to Bob only the other week, if we could get a tobacco license and extend the back parlor.
Hello, darling.
Oh, hello, Steve. You're back early. I thought you were going for a walk.
I've been for a walk ages ago. Do you know what time it is?
No.
It's 12:45.
What? By Timothy, so it is.
Have you had a good morning?
Wonderful. I've done over 2,000 words.
2,000 words? Clifton Webb wrote 20,000 in one night.
20,000?
Yes.
Impossible.
But you saw him, darling. 3 coins in a pound.
Oh, that was CinemaScope. It doesn't count. Right, come on, let's go down and have some lunch.
Paul?
Hmm?
You remember the other day, I think it was Thursday... I went for a walk, and I noticed a man sitting on the bench at the top of the cliff, the place they call Fisherman's View.
Hmm.
I saw him again this morning.
Well?
I was buying some postcards, and he came into the shop.
Well?
I still think I was right the other day. I know you think it's just my imagination.
I don't think it was just imagination. You said he was watching you. Well, he probably was. Why not?
Yes, but I'm sure that's why he came into the shop this morning.
What do you mean?
He wanted to have another look at me.
Ah. What was he like?
Oh, he's about your height. Dark. Wore glasses. Those rimless ones. What do you call them? Bifocal?
Yes. How old?
Oh, 40, 45.
Had he an accent?
Yes, he had.
What kind?
Irish, I think.
Irish. Did he carry a walking stick?
He did the first time I saw him. But not this morning.
What did he say when he came into the shop? Did he speak to you?
No, he asked Mary if they sold cigarettes, But
what?
He was looking at me most of the time.
Well, for heaven's sake, why not? You're a very attractive woman, Steve. Well, what do you want me to do? Have him arrested?
Don't be silly.
Come on, let's go down. I've a lot of work to do this afternoon.
Yes, but you're not doing it.
What do you mean, I'm not doing it?
You're taking the afternoon off.
Oh.
You've had your nose glued to that typewriter ever since we came down here. You're beginning to look like a piece of carbon paper.
Darling, I've got another chapter to write, and if I don't start it this afternoon...
You'll start it tomorrow morning.
Well, we'll see.
Yes, we'll see.
That's Pinford Point over there, Mr. Temple.
Pinford Point?
Yes. You remember Pinford Point?
Is that where Lord Nelson went out to meet...
No. It's got nothing to do with Lord Nelson.
Pinford Point?
Yes. Don't you remember, Mr. Temple?
It strikes a chord.
Well, you mentioned it in one of your books.
By Timothy, so I did.
Yes, you did.
Well, what's the joke?
Well, you said there was a path right down to the sea.
Well, isn't there?
I'm afraid not. It's a sheer drop about 100 feet.
Oh, dear.
You'll have to change your reference library book.
Yes, it looks very much like it.
Do you read very much, Bob?
Well, mostly crime stuff. Detective novels and that sort of thing.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Temple, what do you usually look for when you're investigating a case?
Why, I don't know that I look for anything. I just hope to goodness I'm going to be lucky.
But it isn't just a question of luck, surely.
Well, luck plays a very important part. You'd be surprised.
But in your last book, the principal character, the detective chap, said that in the final analysis, it was always the little things that became important. The sound of a voice. Finding a name in a diary. Remembering a face at the right moment.
Did I write that?
Yes.
It's jolly good.
Oh.
Would you mind changing the subject?
Would you like to talk about fish?
Why not? By Timothy, there's a whopper.
I bet he's the one that got away. Oh, Paul, is that someone waving to us?
Where?
Up on the cliff.
I can't see anyone.
I can see a man there quite distinctly a moment ago.
He's probably crossed over to the other side. We'll see him again when we get round the headland. What was that?
There's someone firing at us. Keep down.
What's he playing at?
Oh, are you? What the blazes do you think you're doing?
I'll hear you, Bob. Get down.
Oh! Bob's been hit.
Bob, are you all right?
It's my arm.
Keep down, Bob. Don't move.
Is he all right?
Yes, it's nothing serious. Now, keep down, Steve. I don't want our sharpshooting friend to take another pot at us.
Well, it must have been the man I saw on the cliff. He was obviously watching the boat
fall. Yes. Hurting you, Bob?
No, it's not too bad, Mr. Temple.
Now, lie still for a while. I can handle the boat.
I think he's gone. I can't see him.
Oh, I'd like to get my hands on him.
Take it easy, Bob. Take it easy. I'll try and turn the launch round.
That lever, Mr. Temple. On the left.
Right. This mysterious stranger your wife was telling us about, the gentleman with the Irish accent.
Yes.
But do you think he's the man who fired at you?
My dear Inspector, your guess is as good as mine. My wife was the only person who saw the man on the cliff. She's already told you that she couldn't identify him.
Yes. Mr. Temple, well, forgive my saying this, but during the course of an entirely uneventful career, you must have made quite a lot of enemies.
Yes, I suppose I have. And a few friends, I hope.
Yes, I know Sir Graham's a friend of yours.
What's in the back of your mind, Inspector?
Mr. Temple, have you any idea who fired those shots?
No, I haven't. If I had, I should tell you.
I hope you would, sir. How long are you staying in Durnborough?
Oh, another 4 or 5 days, perhaps a week.
It's rather a curious time of the year to come down here, sir.
I wanted to be quiet, away from the telephone. I'm writing a book.
I see. Are you staying in the village?
Yes, I'm at the Plough and Anchor, room 32.
Thank you, sir. Well, if anything develops, I'll let you know.
Thank you, Inspector. I'll do the same for you.
The cream shirt, Paul.
Which cream shirt?
The one with the collar attached.
I'm still wearing it.
Oh.
By Timothy, just look at that suitcase. You'll never get that dressing gown in.
Oh, yes, I will. You'll leave it to me.
When it comes to packing, you're a genius, an absolute...
Yes, well, would you mind getting off the bed and making yourself useful for a change?
Well, I like that, I must say. A moment ago, you told me I was in the way.
You are. Look, if you really want to help, put those books in your case.
Oh, all right. Hello. Where did they come from? They're the books I lent Bob Gardner nearly a week ago.
Yes, I know. I saw him this morning. I told him we were going back to town.
Oh, where did you see him? Down at the quay?
Yes.
How was he?
Oh, he was full of beans. He started work on Tuesday. Paul, pass me that dress.
You're not going to try and get that in.
Would you like to put it in your case?
Don't be silly.
Then it's got to go in this one.
Come in. Oh, Inspector Ivor, come in.
I'm sorry to disturb you, sir. But I heard you were going back to London this afternoon.
Yes, we're catching the 5:10.
Is anything wrong, Inspector?
Yes, there is, Mrs. Temple.
What is it?
Bob Gardner's had an accident.
What kind of accident?
Well, apparently Bob and a man called Salty West tried to rescue a dog. It was trapped on Lighthouse Cliff. That's near Pinford Point.
Yes, I know.
Well, Bob tried to get down the cliff. It was a fool thing to do with a bad arm and only Salty holding on to him. And suddenly the dog started to bark and the old boy slipped.
Was Bob...
Yes, yes. We found his body on the beach. He must have been killed instantaneously.
Oh, poor Bob.
What about old Salty West?
Well, he was pretty badly shaken, of course, but well, he's all right now. He managed to scramble back onto the top of the cliff.
What a terrible thing to have happened.
Yeah.
Inspector, you're quite sure this was an accident?
Hmm? Oh, yes, sir, yes. There's no doubt about it. We've got a complete statement from Salty, and we found the dog.
I see.
Is there a doubt in your mind, sir?
Is there a doubt in your mind, Inspector?
No. No, sir, there isn't.
Good.
All the same...
Well,
it seems a curious coincidence after what happened the other day.
But you took it for granted that the shots were meant for me, Inspector, or my wife.
Yes. But I suppose they could have been meant for Bob Gardner.
The same thought crossed my mind.
Hello, Mrs. Temple. Welcome home.
Thank you, Charlie.
Here you are, Charlie. Take that suitcase.
Yes, sir?
No, the heavy one.
Oh, beg pardon, sir. Oh, crikey.
Oh, Paul, just look at those letters.
Mostly bills, I'll bet.
Oh, never mind. It's nice to be home.
I hope you have a pleasant journey, sir.
Cold, Charlie. Oh, very cold.
Well, there's a very nice fire in the drawing room, sir. And Sir Graham Forbes.
What do you mean, and Sir Graham Forbes?
You mean Sir Graham's here?
Yes, he telephoned this morning. I said I thought you'd be home about 8 o'clock.
How long has he been here?
Oh, about a quarter of an hour, I should say.
Right, we'd best see what he wants.
Ah, here you are, Temple.
Well, this is a pleasant surprise, Sir Graham.
Well, let's just say it's a surprise, shall we? You look very fit, Steve.
And you look very worried, Sir Graham.
What's happened this time? Don't tell me all the bright little boys at Scotland Yard...
Paul. Oh,
Sylvia Ross has disappeared.
Sylvia Ross?
Yes.
When?
3 days ago. A young man named Brian Dexter took her to a concert at the Festival Hall. That was on Tuesday night. After the concert...
Who is Sylvia
Steve,
Ross?
Please. Go on, Sir Graham.
Well, there's not much to tell. After the concert, they had supper at a restaurant in Maiden Lane. They left about 11:15, and Dexter dropped her in Berkeley Square. You know the house, Temple.
Yes.
At about 11:45.
Was Carlton there?
No, he was in Geneva. He flew back yesterday morning.
Ah, Dexter. Brian Dexter.
His father's the managing director of Scotto Chemicals. He seems a very agreeable young man. Good background, Eton, Oxford.
Who introduced him to Sylvia?
Carlton did. He's a friend of the boy's father.
Look, would you mind telling me who is Sylvia Ross?
She's Sir Carlton Ross's daughter, Steve.
And he's the head of MI5.
Sorry to have kept you waiting, sir.
No, that's all right, Dexter. It's very nice of you to see me.
Can I offer you a glass of sherry?
Not just at the moment, thank you.
Do sit down.
Thank you.
Sir Graham telephoned and said that you wanted to have a word with me.
Yes.
I presume it's about Sylvia.
Yes.
Is there any news?
No, I'm afraid not.
You know, it's extraordinary. Quite extraordinary. I just don't understand it.
Dexter, I've heard your story secondhand from Sir Graham, but would you mind repeating it for me in your own words?
Well, not at all. If it'll help, I'll repeat it 100 times.
When did you first meet Sylvia Ross?
Well, I went to Switzerland for the winter sports, and Sylvia and her parents happened to be staying in the same hotel.
I see. Go on.
Where did you want me to go on from, exactly?
Did you see a great deal of each other?
I saw her perhaps 3 times in the last year. Once at a garden fete, once at the theatre, and... Well, of course, last Tuesday night.
What happened last Tuesday?
Well, she telephoned me about 4:30 and asked me if I'd care to go to a concert with her, so I picked her up about 7 o'clock. We left the festival hall at 10:30, had supper at Short's.
In Maiden Lane?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And got back to Berkeley Square about 11:40.
I understand you took a taxi from Maiden Lane.
Yes, I'd been having trouble with my car, so I left it in the Strand and took Sylvia home in a taxi, which then took me back to where my car was parked. I didn't even get out of the taxi.
Mm-hmm.
In Berkeley Square, I mean.
Why was that?
Well, Sylvia seemed to be in rather a hurry. It was raining slightly, and she simply jumped out of the taxi, waved her hand, and disappeared.
So you didn't actually see her go into the house?
No. No, I'm afraid I didn't.
And that was the last time you saw her?
That was the last time. Mm-hmm.
You say you left the festival hall at 10:30.
Yes.
Was that when the concert finished?
Yes.
You don't seem very certain. What was the concert?
What do you mean, what was it?
Well, what did the pianist play?
Oh, I'm afraid I can't remember. I'm frightfully vague about that sort of thing.
You are indeed. There wasn't a pianist. It was a symphony orchestra.
Oh. Oh, dear.
You didn't go to the concert, did you?
No.
Then why on earth did you tell
Sylvia? Look, Temple, surely the important thing is the fact that I took Sylvia home and left her there at about 11:40.
If you didn't go to the concert, where did you go?
It's not important.
On the contrary, it might be very important.
We went to the Strand Palais de Danse.
The Strand Palais de Danse?
Yes.
Well, what on earth made you go there?
Well, after I picked up Sylvia, we drove down the Strand towards the embankment. Suddenly, Sylvia spotted a large neon sign outside the dance hall. Well, to cut a long story short, I suggested, well, more as a joke than anything else, that, well, it'd be much more fun to go there than the festival hall. To my surprise, she jumped at the idea.
You sure it wasn't her idea in the first place?
No, it was my idea because...
Because what?
Wait a minute. It was my idea, but I'm not so sure that she didn't put it into my head.
Why do you say that?
Well, it's just occurred to me. I didn't want to go down the Strand in the first place. It was Sylvia's idea.
Which way did you want to go?
Well, down Whitehall and across Westminster Bridge.
But Sylvia suggested that you went down the Strand.
Yes.
Hmm. How long did you stay at the dance hall?
Until 10:30. Then we went to the restaurant. The story I told Sir Graham was perfectly true, except for the visit to the festival hall.
Why didn't you tell Sir Graham the complete truth?
Because what we did earlier in the evening didn't seem to me to be very important.
I see. Now, tell me what happened at the dance hall. Did Sylvia speak to anyone?
Good Lord, no. We sat in a corner most of the night drinking lemonade and laughing our heads off.
What were you laughing at?
A character called Johnny Tico. He's a sort of compere come dance band leader.
Yeah, I think I've heard him on the radio.
He's a pseudo-American, straight from Battersea. Still, he's got a very good band. Sylvia was crazy about it. She made him play her favourite number.
I thought you said she didn't speak to anyone.
She didn't.
Then how did she get him to play her favourite number?
She sent him a note.
Did you see it?
No, but I know what was on it.
What?
Well, I've told you it was a request.
For what?
For a number, a song.
What song?
Oh, good heavens above, Temple, is that important?
It might be.
Well, the number was called Goodbye, My Baby Doll. It doesn't sound very important, does it?
Dexter, have you any idea what's happened to Sylvia Ross?
Not the slightest.
Were you surprised when you heard that she disappeared?
Yes.
But you're not unduly perturbed?
Well, I'm puzzled, of course, like everyone else, but...
Not perturbed?
But no. I think she'll turn up all right.
Well, I hope you're right, Dexter. I sincerely hope you're right.
That's all, folks. Rest a while, boys and girls. Rest a while. We'll be with you again in just 5 minutes' time.
Does he like himself? It's almost indecent.
Wait here, Steve. I'm going to have a word with him.
Don't be long.
I'll be back in a minute. Don't move from the table.
No, all right, I won't.
My name's Temple. I'd like to have a word with you.
Go ahead, Mac.
This is private. Is there a dressing room somewhere?
Go ahead. I'm listening. Linda, we'll start with the new arrangement of night and day.
Yes, Johnny.
And get the thing straight this time. It was all boxed up last night.
Yes, Johnny.
Tico, I said I wanted to have a word with you.
Sure, I'm listening, Mac. I'm listening.
On Tuesday night, a girl sent you a note asking you to play a certain number.
Well?
Do you remember that note?
Are you kidding? I get 50 notes every night.
You haven't had 50 tonight. I've been here an hour and you haven't had one.
What is this?
I've told you. A girl sent you a note.
Yeah, I know that. What about it?
Do you remember the note?
Maybe.
Do you remember what the girl looked like?
Mac, I see hundreds of girls. Every afternoon, every night, I see hundreds of them. Why should I remember that particular girl?
Because she sent you a note.
Okay. She sent me a note. So what?
Tika, this is important. Do you remember that girl? Do you remember what she looked like?
Yeah, I remember. She had a blue dress and a little gray hat, and she wore a mink jacket. She was with a guy in a tuxedo. Nice-looking guy.
Would you recognize him again?
Sure, I'd recognize him. His name's Dexter, Brian Dexter.
How do you know?
I saw a picture of him in one of the glossy magazines. Anything else?
Was that the first time you'd seen the girl?
Yeah.
She hadn't been here before?
I never seen her before.
Right. Oh, thank you, Mr. Tinker. Oh, what was the number?
The number?
The song she asked for.
It was Goodbye, my baby doll. Satisfied?
Yes, I'm satisfied.
Swell. Anytime, Mac. Anytime.
Get your coat, Steve. We're leaving.
Paul, that girl was watching you the whole time.
Which girl?
The singer in the orchestra. She was talking to somebody, but she had her eye on you the whole time.
Ah. All right, Steve. Let's get out of here.
You know, the last time I came to one of these places was 4 years ago when Charlie won the local championship. Oh, dear, it's raining.
Would you like a taxi, sir?
Oh, do you think you can find us one?
I'll try, sir.
Oh, thanks.
Mr. Temple. Oh, that's the girl I was telling you about, the singer.
Mr. Temple, could I have a word with you?
Yes, of course.
I'm Linda Tico, Johnny's wife. Well, I overheard part of your conversation and, well, Johnny didn't tell you the truth.
Didn't he, Mrs. Tico?
No. You see, that girl, the one you questioned him about...
Yes?
I saw the note she gave him.
Well?
It wasn't what you thought. It wasn't a request at all.
What was it?
Look, Mr. Temple, if I tell you about the note, you won't question Johnny about it, will you?
Don't worry, Mrs. Tico. I shan't even mention it to your husband.
Well, I saw the girl give him the note, and I knew by the way he looked at it that there was something different about it. He read it and put it in his waistcoat pocket. Even that made me suspicious.
Why?
Well, usually when he gets a written request, he puts on quite an act, holding up the paper and whispering into the microphone.
Go on.
Later that night, while he was changing, I looked at the note.
Well?
It had a name on it, just a person's name and an address.
What was the name and address, do you remember?
Yes, it said, Mr. Clive Lawrence, Hotel Steinbach, Zermatt.
Mr. Clive Lawrence, Hotel Steinbach, Zermatt. Is that all it said?
Yes, that's all.
You haven't got the note?
No, I put it back in his pocket. You see, well, in a way, I was rather relieved. I thought perhaps it was a different kind of note. You won't tell Johnny about this, will you?
No, don't worry. I shan't say a word to your husband, I promise you.
That's the band. I've got to get back, Mr. Temple. He'll wonder where I am. Goodbye.
Poor girl. She's terrified of that overdressed slab of brilliantine.
Excuse me, sir. Your taxi.
Oh, thank you. Here you are.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Very interested in the paper this morning.
I'm just looking to see if there's anything about Sylvia Ross.
Is there?
No. Either the press haven't got onto it yet or they're deliberately playing it down.
Would you like some more coffee?
No, thanks, darling.
Oh, excuse me, sir. A Miss Gardner would like to see you.
Miss Gardner? Who's Miss Gardner, see you?
Oh, it must be Mary Gardner, Bob Gardner's sister.
Oh, of course. Ask her in, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
Why on earth should Mary Gardner want to see you?
What time is it, Steve?
20 to 10.
Well, she must have left Darnborough pretty early to get here by 20 to 10.
Miss Gardner, sir.
Ah.
Hello, Mary. Oh. This is a surprise.
Oh,
How are you?
I do apologize calling like this, Mrs. Temple. I wouldn't have done
That's
it, but...
That's all right, Mary. We're delighted to see you.
Did you come up to London this morning?
Yes, I caught the 7:10.
What made you come up to town so early?
A man called Bristow telephoned me yesterday morning, said he wanted to see me this morning at 11 o'clock.
Bristow?
Yes, I believe they're a firm of solicitors. Bristow, Thompson...
Bristow, Thompson and Cartwright.
Yes, do you know them, Mr. Temple?
I've heard of them. They're a very good firm. Harrogate Buildings, Lincoln's Inn.
Yes, that's right.
What do they want to see you about, Mary, do you know?
Oh, I haven't the slightest idea.
Is it something to do with Bob?
I don't know. All I know is I feel very worried. Somehow I don't like the idea of seeing a solicitor, especially in London.
Is that why you wanted to see my husband?
Oh, no. I
found this letter yesterday afternoon in an old deed box. It's addressed to you, Mr. Temple.
To me?
Yes. I think Bob must have written it just before the accident.
Oh, thank you.
What does it say?
Dear Mr. Temple, I wonder if you remember our conversation about the little things that later become so important. I have a feeling that this name and address is going to be one of those little things.
What name and address?
Mr. Clive Lawrence, Hotel Steinbach, Zermatt.
That was the first episode of the Francis Durbridge serial, Paul Temple and the Lawrence Affair, with Peter Cook as Paul Temple and Marjorie Westbury as Steve. Listen to the next episode of Martin C. Webster's production of Paul Temple and the Lawrence Affair, Salty West.